Good morning, Jennings County, and good morning, Bethel Baptist Church. Pastor Ricky Persons here this morning sharing the word with you. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. While you're finding that in your Bible, I will just remind you that this is the third in a series of messages that come from the lessons of our Vacation Bible School. We still hope to be able to host Vacation Bible School in mid-June, and Lord willing, we will be able to do that. I think children will be delighted to have an opportunity to get out and fellowship with one another and to have a glorious time. They have missed several weeks of school, their friends, activities, and so we're delighted to have that kind of opportunity available. Hopefully to kids, God willing, and the governor giving us the okay for those kinds of gatherings. The first lesson of Vacation Bible School we covered was the foundation of love. Jesus chose Matthew, and the literature said the point of that lesson was that Jesus chooses to love me. I can't earn it. And I modified that slightly. Jesus chooses to love sinners. Sinners can't earn it. The second lesson was the foundation of forgiveness, Paul's redemption. And its point was Jesus loves me regardless of my sin. I noted that I had a concern that there was the wrong way to take that, to mean that it does not matter if I sin, and that would be the wrong way to interpret that point. So I attempted a rewrite. The rewrite was, my sin does not keep Jesus from loving me. Might even change the tense of that and say, my sin did not keep Jesus from loving me. My sin does not keep Jesus from loving me. The third in the series of Vacation Bible School lessons is entitled, Foundation of Worth, Jesus Prayed in the Garden. Foundation of worth, Jesus prayed in the garden. And the literature gives the point of the lesson, Jesus chose to die for me. I have reworded the last word simply to say Jesus chose to die for sinners. If indeed I deny that I am a sinner, Jesus' death has no value for me. I make his death pointless with respect to me. So Jesus chose to die for sinners. And we ask the question, what kind of choice was it? What kind of choice was it? Jesus chose to die for sinners. What kind of choice was it? Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, we begin reading. Then Jesus came with them, that is his disciples, to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. We might wonder why the change in Jesus' countenance. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, the Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Matthew 17 continues this testimony. Now, while they were staying in Galilee, verse 22, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. And they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Not Jesus, they were. In Matthew chapter 20, the gospel continues this record of Jesus teaching the disciples. Again, here's what it says. Now Jesus, verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again. In Matthew 26, after Jesus is anointed, By the woman, he says, for in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial, noting that he is going to die. We find ourselves with Jesus being in full awareness of the fact that he is going to go to Jerusalem, he is going to be betrayed into the hands of the Jewish religious leaders, and he is going to be crucified, he is going to die, he is going to be buried, and he is going to rise again. This is his consistent testimony, so that Jesus' death is no surprise at all to Jesus. But when we get to Gethsemane, Jesus' mood about this upcoming death of his changes. We find ourselves wondering why. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus' parents are told, Joseph in particular, that and she will bear a son, that is Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So we wonder what accounts for the change in Jesus' mood, in his emotional state. Well, I would just say that Jesus lived his life with an awareness of his purpose, but he was busy in a day-to-day kind of fashion of doing the will of the Father. So he taught the disciples in advance, but because the day of his death was in the future, he simply did what God called him to do that day, and it was not his responsibility that day to agonize over his death. It's Jesus himself taught in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The old King James words it like this, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. So Jesus doesn't borrow evil, the evil of the cross, the unpleasantness of the cross, the agony of the cross. He doesn't begin looking at that until it's immediately present. So the day had arrived for Jesus to give due consideration to his death on the cross. To be clear, Jesus' choice to die for sinners was the defining choice of his life. What kind of choice was it? Number one, it was the defining choice of his life. It was not an impulsive choice. Verse 38. Then Jesus said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. D.A. Carson, the commentator, says, it suggests a sorrow so deep it almost kills. This is the kind of sorrow that even affects the body. Some of you have been and faced that kind of sorrow, and you have some sense of what Jesus experienced. Carson writes this, but Jesus went to his death knowing that it was his Father's will that he face death completely alone as the sacrificial, wrath-averting Passover lamb. As his death was unique, so also his anguish, and our best response to it is hushed worship. Secondly, we would note, what kind of choice was it for Jesus to die for sinners? It was an emotional choice. It was not a dispassionate or unfeeling kind of choice. Jesus understood the pain that would be associated with being beaten and being crucified. He understood that he would be abandoned, he would be alone, he would be deserted. He understood that all of this was to be his experience. So he begins to be exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. It was an emotional choice. It was not a dispassionate or unfeeling kind of choice. Verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Again, Jesus chose to die for sinners. What kind of choice was it? We notice in verse 39, reference to this cup. The cup refers not only to the suffering and death, but as is often the case in the New Testament, also to God's wrath. Thus writes D.A. Carson. For instance, in Psalm 75, verse number 7, "But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down." There are numerous passages that reference the cup of the Lord's wrath in the Old Testament. So when Jesus references the cup, it is clear he is referring to the cup of God's wrath that he is going to drink on the behalf of sinners. So Jesus chose to die for sinners. What kind of choice was it? It was a personally costly, sacrificial kind of choice. So far, we have that it was the defining choice of his life. It was an emotional choice. It was a personally costly, sacrificial kind of choice. And fourthly, we notice in verse number 39, Jesus' prayer, "Not as I will, but as you will," referring to the Father. He has prayed in the same verse, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So fourthly, we find it was an obedient choice. Jesus chose to die for sinners. What kind of choice was it? It was an obedient choice. In John chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus said, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." It was indeed an obedient choice. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks the disciples who he is. Perhaps you remember this passage. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then later in the same chapter, we find a reversal of course. Verse 16, we read this earlier, but I'll just call it to your attention again. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But Jesus answered and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men.'" All of these texts indicate to us that Jesus chose to die for sinners. What kind of choice was it? It was an obedient choice. It was the will of the Father that Jesus die for sinners. And Jesus obeyed. Verse number 40. "Then he came," that is Jesus, "to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?'" Peter's only hope to understand what was going to happen and thereby being able to resist the temptation to deny Jesus was to see that what Jesus was doing was not simply submission to the Jewish authorities or to Rome, but it was submission to God the Father's will. And this is the critical point that Peter misses. He simply doesn't understand that Jesus being seized and arrested and crucified was not solely the activity of the Roman authorities, of Jesus' opposition among the Jews. It wasn't a defeat. It was, in fact, submission to the will of the Father by Jesus. The other disciples faced a different kind of temptation. They faced the temptation to abandon Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26, earlier in this same chapter, Jesus said to them, his disciples, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Folks, again, we note that Jesus chose to die for sinners. What kind of choice was it? It was a choice to be alone. It was a choice to be isolated. The cross is something that Jesus would face and do on his own. Later in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 46, we have the prayer of Jesus recorded, wherein he cites the opening line of Psalm 22. It says, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus chose to die for sinners. It was the divining choice of his life. It was an emotional choice. It was an obedient choice. It was a personally costly, sacrificial kind of choice, and it was a choice to be alone, to be isolated. Verse 41, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Another translation says, "Stay awake and pray, so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." I've come to this text before and read those words and not always been too clear on what was being said. I think the commentators have it right. Dr. Carson writes that this language makes a distinction between man's physical weakness and the noble desires of his will. Craig Blomberg says, "The human spirit has good intentions, but the flesh is weak." I think almost all of us understand and can appreciate having been in the position where we really did have good intentions and we simply were not able to carry them out. None of the disciples planned in their hearts, you know what, I think at the very strategic moment, the moment when Jesus needs me the most, I'm going to abandon him. I'm going to betray him. Instead, their desire was to be loyal to Jesus to the very end. But when they got to the crucial moment, they didn't appreciate the nature of the temptation. They did not join Jesus in prayer the way Jesus urged them to. And so as a result, they didn't understand that what Jesus was doing was submitting to the will of the Father. So when the arrest came, they either had the fight or flight response that we typically all have in those circumstances. Simon Peter doing the fighting, the most of the rest of them doing the flight. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, we are reminded that Jesus' choice to die for sinners, what kind of choice was it? It was a choice to be alone, to be isolated. Verse 42, again a second time, Jesus went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Now, I'm noting in verse number 42 that the scripture records again a second time Jesus prayed, and we're going to read in verse 44 that he prayed the third time saying the same words. We've made the point here repeatedly, and this entire story makes the point that Jesus chose to die for sinners. And we've asked the question, what kind of choice is it? Well, at this point, thinking about sheerly the fact that Jesus three times prays about this matter, we note that Jesus' choice to die for sinners was a sober choice. It was not a flippant choice. Think about this. Under what other kind of circumstances can you imagine that it would require Jesus three seasons of prayer in order to make peace with the will of his Father? The entire rest of his ministry, he has gone where the Father has said to go. He has done what the Father has said to do. He has spoken the words that the Father has told him to speak. But it is in this moment when he is to sacrifice himself to evil men. He is to let them do as they will to him, to be unjust, to be cruel, to be unrighteous, to be vicious, to die at their hands a brutal death, and to die emotionally severed from all of the love and affection that he's known his entire life, and to be the object of the wrath of his Father. All of that is to happen, and when that is all contemplated, the Son of God, for three seasons of praying, goes into the presence of the Father and says, Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Jesus chose to love sinners. What kind of choice was it? It was a sober choice. It was not a flippant choice. Verse 43 continues, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Jesus chose to die for sinners. What kind of choice was it? It was a determined, resolved choice. By the time Jesus finishes these three seasons of prayer, he has entreated the Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass away from me and I don't have to drink it in order to bring the salvation that you purposed for me to bring, then let it be. But if it cannot be, then I will be obedient to you. I will do what you have asked me to do. So finally, we find Jesus chose to die for sinners. What kind of choice was it? It was a determined and resolved choice. In Isaiah 50, we read a prophecy about the servant, the suffering servant of God. In Isaiah 50, verse 4, we read, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. This prophetic word is fulfilled in the gospel. In Luke chapter 9, the Bible records, Now it came to pass, verse 51, Luke 9, 51. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Folks, to be clear, that is what Jesus would face. He knew that is where his crucifixion would take place. He knew that is where his death, his abandonment, his betrayal, his brutal death, all of that would take place. The wrath of God, he would drink the cup of the wrath of God. He would drink it empty. He would do all of that for sinners. So what have we learned? We have learned that Jesus chose to die for sinners. What kind of choice was it? It was the definitive choice of his life. It was an emotional choice. It was a personally costly and sacrificial choice. It was a choice, an obedient choice. It was a choice to be alone. It was a sober choice, and it was a determined choice. As D.A. Carson writes, in the first garden, not your will but mine changed paradise to desert and brought man from Eden to Gethsemane. Now, not my will but yours brings anguish to the man who prays it, but transforms the desert into the kingdom and brings man from Gethsemane to the gates of glory. Jesus chose to die for sinners. To be clear, Jesus chose to die for me. It was most definitely a choice. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, in the context of being arrested and Peter attempting to defend Jesus, Jesus says to Peter, Do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? We have already read in John's Gospel where Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. Folks, we need to hear the lesson of this Vacation Bible School. Jesus chose to die for sinners. What kind of choice was it? It was the definitive choice of his life. It was an emotional choice. It was a personally costly, sacrificial choice. It was an obedient choice to his heavenly Father. It was a sober choice, not a flippant choice. It was a choice to be alone, to be isolated, to bring salvation by himself. A salvation that no one else, in the sense that he was the Son, could help bring. And lastly, it was a determined, resolved choice. Jesus made this choice to die for sinners. This is the foundation of your worth. Jesus chose to die for sinners. Jesus chose to die for me. Jesus chose to die for you. Will you receive his death as a display of his love for you? Will you embrace Jesus as the one who paid the penalty for your sins, secured your forgiveness, and has obtained eternal life for those who will follow him? How will you respond to Jesus today? Father God, my prayer is that every person who listens will, for the first time or for the thousandth time, be grateful that your Son, our Savior and King Jesus Christ chose to die for sinners. He chose to die for you and for me. Lord, thank you for that blessed truth. Impress it upon every heart in Jesus' name. Amen.